Skull Rock Podcast, talking all things Disney with your hosts, Aljon Goh and Dave Bossert.
Do you just love to learn more about the magic that embodies animated films, theme park attractions, and more? The all-encompassing universe created and produced by the genius of Walt Disney has spanned nearly 100 years and counting.
From his earliest film endeavors with the Laugh-O-Gram cartoons and the Alice comedies, to the creation of Mickey Mouse, to the first animated feature film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then dreaming up Disneyland, Walt Disney continuously raised the creative bar, and today his company has carried on that tradition as a global entertainment juggernaut. I'm Dave Bossert, artist, filmmaker, and author.
And I'm Aljon Goh, musician, podcaster, and radio guy. Every week, Dave and I will explore the entertainment galaxy that is Disney with insightful conversation, stories, and special guests talking all things Disney.
Listen to never-before-heard stories and behind-the-scenes moments from some of your favorite Disney films, theme park attractions, performances, books, music, and so much more from knowledgeable, insightful, and thought-provoking hosts and guests. Hear the latest news about Disney past, present, and future.
Skull Rock Podcast is your go-to source for the magic we all love. Skull Rock Podcast. Visit skullrockpodcast.com. All right, welcome everyone back to the Disney List. Aljon and Kristen here. Kristen, yes. You got some awesome travel deals for everybody today before we get this D23 Expo show started.
Yes, if you are a Disney Plus subscriber, you can save this coming holiday season at select Walt Disney World Resort hotels. You can save up to 20% off, and that's going to be for most nights, December 11th through December 25th. And you can book now, but you must be a Disney Plus subscriber to take advantage of this deal.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Kristen, where can people email you to get their Disney trip, Universal, or any cruise line booked by yourself with that free quote and to save them time and money?
At themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
Thank you, Kristen. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by Shure. We'd like to thank them for sponsoring this show. Shure provided these awesome microphones, the MV7. It's a dynamic microphone with both USB and XLR outputs for computers and professional audio interfaces that we're using today. You can connect via USB and explore additional setup features using their Shure Plus Motiv app. Make it sound amazing. That's what I say. All right. Let the microphone do the work for you. It reminds me so much of the microphone that I used during my time in radio. So it sounds nice, full. As we say, it sounds fat. For more details, check out our show notes and to check out their website, let them know that the Disney List podcast sent you at Shure.com. Shure Microphones, Shure.com for more details. You can also check out our friends at the Gator Frameworks. We're broadcasting live from the Gator Frameworks studio. They make all kinds of stands and accessories for podcasters, content creators, musicians, as well as lighting and AV equipment. They have these awesome stands as well as ring lights for creators as well as desks. Check them out in our show notes as well. Thank you to Gator Frameworks at GatorFrameworks.com.
The following is a production of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
An imagination, huh?
Are you guys ready?
Are you ready?
From the Gator Framework Studio in Music City, it's the Disney List. The Disney List. Disney fans Kristen Hetzel and Aljon Goh bring you top 10 lists from the Disney parks, films, Star Wars, Marvel, news, travel tips, and more. Now prepare yourself for the Disney List.
Oh boy, they say second time's a charm. Welcome to the Disney List, the D23 Expo Hangover Edition. I'm lifelong Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, and content creator, big fan, Aljon Goh, at the helm, joined by my lovely and talented co-host. Hello, Kristen.
Hello, Aljon.
Tell them where the people can find you.
At diningatdisney.com.
Very good. Not only is she the travel guru, but she is the queen of food, Disney food.
I love me some food.
We're getting ready to give Kat R. Corey a call. She was our boots on the ground for Dining at Disney. And she said, Aljon, I'd love to call in. I'm just going to call Kat right now and see if she can come in and talk to us about the D23 Expo. And
hello.
Hey, Kat. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. What's going on?
We're trying to do this show. I think everyone heard us the first time, and then we tried getting you in, and Facebook had a horrible interface there trying to get you in. And it's like, nah, we'll just do it the old fashioned way. We'll do it like an old school coast to coast call. So, you're coast to coast live with Kristen and Al John and Kat.
Wonderful. I love it.
Nice. So Kat, you were there for Dining at Disney. Kat, why don't you introduce yourself as well?
Oh, sure. Well, my name's Kat. Hello, everyone. Normally I am working with Kristen and producer Al John over on Dining at Disney twice a week. But this weekend I was over at the D23 Expo, representing Dining at Disney and my little podcast, Eat the Pictures. And I got to see some pretty cool stuff.
That's awesome. Well, we love you for it, Kat. And hopefully you have a lot of really cool things for your podcast as well as Kristen's show that we're going to talk about, because there is a lot. There is a lot. However,
there's so much.
However, we saw the live stream, and typically we'd be there with you to hang out and have a good time with all of our Disney friends and family, as it were. And see all the panels, but you know, of course, during the pandemic, we started a family, not able to travel all that easily. So we're here enjoying the expo from the comfort of our own home. Having said that, what were your impressions being there all 3 days for the expo? Just your first impressions.
It was great. It was a great weekend. Was I lonely? Absolutely. It's usually nice to have you guys or Bubba and Kristen or my beautiful mother there with me to celebrate these things. But I was by myself this weekend, so I made a lot of new friends. I got to hear a lot of really interesting news. I got to see a lot of really cool things. I got to wear a lot of cute outfits, which I love to do. It was a great weekend. There was a lot going on. I had some pretty high expectations, and I think they were met as much as they could have been met by the team at Disney and the team at the Expo and the team in Anaheim specifically, because that's where we were, was Anaheim. And, you know, that's a lot of the cast members that was working this weekend. That's their home location in Anaheim, even though there were a lot of cast members internationally in town this weekend. It was great. It was great to see everybody's faces. It was great to be in the room again for the first time since 2019. It was a lot of energy, a lot of emotions, and I think it was a raging success, personally.
That's awesome. Well, we enjoyed the coverage here, and I can tell you that the live stream, whether it is D23 Expo, which I believe they really did step up their game in terms of their live stream coverage. It's very much very similar to what they do for Star Wars Celebration, but I will say that Star Wars Celebration really has it dialed in. It's probably one of the most fun live stream cons that I've ever seen. And you and I are both avid con goers. We go to so many conventions, or had gone to so many, at least in my case. Reed Pop does such a great job doing the streams, and I think Disney learned a lot from how they have done them in the past, especially with Celebrations, that they really had a nice live stream stage and everything looked really good. So I can tell you that it looked good from home. and it looked pretty big. We've been to a lot of D23 conventions. Was this one smaller due to the fact it was the first time back in over 3 years? I mean, you, myself, and Bubba and Kristen, we were all there for the D23 Expo that happened in 2019 prior to the pandemic, and we had a blast. It was huge.
I wouldn't say it was smaller. No, honestly, I think it was pretty much the same. They were spread out. They spread out a lot. I don't know if you guys remember, anybody listening remembers, back in the day, 2009, 2011, they used the arena for the big panel. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yes.
So this year, they put Walt's plane in the arena.
Right? I heard about that.
So it was, it was lovely to have that space like separated from the convention floor, because not only did you get this incredible reveal of Walt's plane as you walked through the double doors, but also it meant that there was a lot more space for retailers, for booths, for the live stages and camera setups that they had on the floor this year, which was new. I think it was bigger than Celebration. They spread out all the way into the new 100 building over at ACC.
Wow.
It was a lot going on. They had a fourth stage. There were five shopping sections, plus Hall D23. It was big. It was a big, they utilized all, how many convention halls was that? A, B, C, D. All five convention halls, plus the arena, plus they put the premiere stage over in ACC 200. So that was in a totally separate building.
Wow. That is something else.
So it was big. I got my steps in. Let me tell you.
Oh, I bet you would. I bet you would.
Uh-huh.
Well, Kat, you drive this discussion here. You experienced it. Where did you want to start? Because I could go places, but I'd love to hear you start and we can expand on it.
Why don't we just go right from the top? Let's start on Friday and go all the way down, shall we?
Sure. Well, okay. Friday was cool. Yeah, go ahead.
Friday was great. Started the day with the Legends panel, honoring, we talked about this a little bit on Dining at Disney, honoring some of the ABC TV celebrities, the Anthony Anderson, Tracy Ellis Ross, Kristen Boo, Patrick Dempsey, Ellen Pompeo, and then the stars, the cast of Frozen, all of those wonderful humans, talented humans, and then of course, RIP to our King T'Challa, Chadwick Boseman was honored, and some incredible talents from WGI, Doris Hardeen and Chris Moran and Bob Price, all honored with the Disney Legends title in a very long ceremony, but very emotional. Bob Chapek made some comments during the opening ceremony where he teased a little bit of what was talked about today, Sunday, during the Parks panel. We'll get to that a little bit later, but it was a great way to kick off the weekend, getting back together in the room and getting ready for a weekend of incredible presentations and incredible announcements and incredible things to see on the show floor. It was a really great way to start off the weekend.
It's one of our favorite events, by the way, the Disney Legends Ceremony. Oh, it's the 35th anniversary of it. And I know Kristen was super excited, as she mentioned on the Dining at Disney podcast, about seeing her favorite actor of all time, Patrick Dempsey.
You're gonna
say something, or you just sit there and smile, because I'm trying to tee this up for you.
Good.
Okay. Yes, I was very excited. I couldn't believe his hair was blonde. Not sure what that was all about. The interesting.
He is shooting a movie.
Yes,
He's playing a race car driver, an Italian race car driver. So there we'll see what happens.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, that is one of his favorite things to do.
So
yeah, okay. I'm sure you know all about it.
So Kat, you know, we were roasting Don Hahn on the Skull Rock podcast. We love Don. We all love Don Hahn, legendary Disney producer, now Disney legend.
And Don Hahn. I forgot to say Don Hahn. Yeah. I was like going down the list in my head. Don Hahn, also honored this week.
Yeah, you had an amazing memory. That was very good. But Don ended up getting sick with guess what? And he had to sit and he could not attend the event. He couldn't, and it was too late for him to send in his video.
Oh,
I think so. He was watching it from his hotel room. And it's very sad because I'm sure I'll probably end up calling him trying to see if he would give a little bit of his speech for our podcast at some point. But, God, you know, what a horrible time. It's like getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or to win, you know, finally win that Emmy or that Grammy Award and not being able to accept your award after all these years of hard work. Exactly. So disappointing.
Exactly. And we were especially disappointed because he had a second panel that he was going to be doing about the mid-century architecture and styling at Disney, and it got canceled. And all of us, we were sitting in line with me and a bunch of the people from the media were sitting in line, and we all got the email at the same time, and we all looked at each other like, what's going on? What's happening? Yeah, where's Don Hahn?
That's what happened, you know, and I'm sure like at the last minute, they probably could have called in Dave Bossert to do it, because he wrote an entire book on mid-century modern design over at the Disney Studios, and the old Kim Weber thing. And of course he's on vacation this week. So he's like, yeah, totally out of pocket.
I think CB from Marvel ended up picking up that torch and scrambling to get a presentation together that morning. I felt really awful for that team. I'm sure it was not an easy feat to scramble together a presentation, but I'm sure it was wonderful.
Well, you know, CB's the best over there at Marvel. So if anyone can put together a presentation at the last minute, they could have, you know, normally they probably would have done like a cup of Joe, you know, type of panel. So I'm sure it was like a cup of CB, you know, or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, yeah, go ahead. Continue on with your schedule.
So Friday afternoon was the Disney live action animated Pixar presentation, and it was led by Alan Berger, who is the chairman of the studio, and he introduced Pete Docter and Jennifer Lee from the animation studios, and oh boy, I forget what that guy's name is, but it'll come to me, I'm sure. Then they talked about the wonderful upcoming presentations releases that are going to be starting later on this year with Strange Worlds coming from Disney Animation and Pinocchio that just came out last week. Cynthia Erivo came out and opened the show singing When You Wish Upon a Star live. It was really powerful and beautiful. She is a talent beyond compare. Which was wonderful to start off the day. We heard a lot of wonderful news coming to theaters and to Disney Plus, including Disenchanted, Peter Pan and Wendy, telling the story of Peter Pan and Wendy, The Haunted Mansion coming in 2023, Mufasa, The Lion King coming in 2024, the Snow White live action, and their presentation for the live action studios closed with a beautiful look at The Little Mermaid, Rob Marshall and Halle Bailey, showing the entire sequence of Part of Your World to fans in Hall D23, bringing most of the audience to tears. And it was really, really moving to see Ariel. I am going to say this, it may be me speaking out of turn, but I think Halle Bailey is channeling Brandy from the 1997 Cinderella in her performance as Ariel. She is incredibly beautiful. Her voice is incredible as always, and I cannot wait to see the rest of the film.
No, that's it, really...
It's going to be...
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah, we agree.
I can't wait for more about The Haunted
Mansion. Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, there's a lot.
Mansion, they played us a clip of The Haunted Mansion. For some reason, my brain had erased the fact that Danny DeVito is in the Haunted Mansion.
Whoa.
So Danny DeVito's voice comes over the loudspeaker as the clip is like starting. And I was like, hold on, wait a minute. What? What is happening? And then, oh my goodness. Give me one second. What's his name? Justin Simien, who apparently used to work at Disneyland, because they showed us a hilarious picture of his Disneyland cast member ID.
Yeah.
Classic.
I did see that.
He was wonderful. Introduced the queen of Halloween, Jamie Lee Curtis, will be playing Madame Leota.
Yes.
That's a lovely clip. But that Danny DeVito thing, I knew about Rosario Dawson, Lakeith Stanfield, Tiffany Haddish, Owen Wilson. I had all of those things in my brain. I knew that it was coming. I knew everything about it. And then Danny DeVito's voice. And I was like, oh my God, Danny DeVito, I love your movies. What's happening right now?
That's awesome.
It was great. It was wonderful to see it. I think it's going to be a real improvement from the 2003 Haunted Mansion, knock on wood. If it's not, don't come for me. I don't make these movies. Yeah.
Danny DeVito, he's one of those people that is actually shorter than me.
Yes. Yes.
There's not many, but he is one of them.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Then Pixar's Pete Docter, who I think is a very eloquently spoken gentleman. He is enormous. But I think he's the right choice to replace the personality who shall not be named as the leader of Pixar and as the voice of these future keynotes. He did a really lovely job. He's spoken in the past of these things, and he always is eloquent, but this one, he is the chief creative officer over at Pixar, so listening to him talk about these projects was really great, but also having him be the face of that brand was, it was a fresh perspective that I think we really needed to see, especially now. He came out and talked about some Pixar projects that are coming out, one of which is Elemental, directed by Pete Stone, who is just a gift to us all. The voice of Sock from Lightyear. If you haven't seen it, please go see it.
Yeah, it's great.
Sock is a king, a short king. they talked about Elemental, which is going to be coming to theaters in June of 2023. Starring Leah Lewis from Nancy Drew and Mamadou Alfi from many, many, many things. He is a revelation. Win or Lose is a series, the first Pixar animated series coming to Disney Plus, which looks really cute. Will Forte is going to be one of the voices. He did a really special little shout out, and Will Forte, he can't miss. He's so funny, even when he's not trying. That's how you know he's a funny guy in real life.
Yes.
So I can't wait to see that. And then Elio.
Yeah.
Is a story about a little boy who becomes the, I'm going to use the word ambassador for the planet Earth in the Intergalactic Forum. Looks really cute. Directed by Adrian Molina and produced by Mariela Strom. Adrian Molina worked heavily on Coco. That was inspired by him. It should be really interesting. The little boy who plays Elio himself, Jonas, came out and honestly, like, give the kid a talk show. He's adorable. It was so cute. And then, of course, the one thing we had all been waiting for, a special guest, Mrs. Amy Poehler, came out on stage to announce Inside Out 2.
There you go.
Inside Out 2 will be coming out summer of 2024. It sounds like all of our favorites will be returning, and there will be some new emotions inside the head of teenage Riley. We all got ripped out, our hearts ripped out by Bing Bong in the first Inside Out, so I can only imagine what they're going to do to us with Inside Out 2.
No, that's great. I mean, there are so many just great reveals during that day, and I have to say that I'm looking forward to seeing Wish. I think we I don't know if you touched on that. That looks really interesting to see
Wish
that movie.
Looks incredible.
Yeah.
Alan Tudyk was on hand during that presentation. Alan Tudyk's going to be playing the villain. And he gave us a little sneak peek, but also music in Wish is going to be composed of written and composed by Grammy Award winning artist Julia Michaels.
Yeah.
And Ariana DeBose, Oscar winner, Ariana DeBose will be playing the lead character, Asha, in Wish, and she was on hand to sing a little song for us. And again, we started the afternoon in tears with Cynthia Erivo and the end of the afternoon in tears from Ariana DeBose. It was a really incredible day. It really was.
Yeah, Disney is doing a bunch of really interesting things when it comes to their storytelling. You know, I thought it was really cool to see them kind of do a partnership with an African animation house with one of their new, I guess, their new films. I guess it's a partnership film, Uwaju. I believe I said that.
Long form series, partnering with Kugali is the entertainment company, and they came out and talked. Their show looks incredible. It's inspired by Lagos, Nigeria, and it's going to be high tech. I think it's going to be really interesting, and I love that the first ever partnership with an outside studio that Disney has ever done is with the Pan-African company. It's really important work that they're doing. And I think it's really special that Disney Plus audiences next year are going to get to see how animation is, you know, created across the world, and Disney using their platform to amplify that is really important work. And the three gentlemen who run Kugali came out and spoke a little bit about their project, and you can tell that they just created this love letter to their culture, to Lagos, to the people and their way of life, their culture. It's just really incredible. I think it's going to be really beautiful.
It looks really Disney, which I dig too. And the other thing too is, you know, they've done the same thing with Star Wars Visions, you know, partnering up with independent animators that do anime in Japan. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool that they're doing it. You know, I know that there's a lot in here to cover, but Strange World looks good. We can talk about that when we break down here in a little bit. What was the big takeaway for you from this this panel on day one?
I think just the dedication to showing cultures and to hiring diverse filmmakers and teams to create these new and upcoming projects is really important. And it's an initiative that they're taking a huge firm stand behind, which I think is really important, especially now. We talked about it a little bit on Dining at Disney. It's really important for kids right now to see representation of themselves in the culture, the content that they consume every day. And I think knowing that people like Barry Jenkins and Justin Simeon and the Kugali team are out there changing the world, and girls who can see themselves in Halle Bailey and Rachel Zegler, it's really important work, and it gives me hope that maybe we're going to see a lot of work being done by the company to just promote that diversity. And, you know, there's so many things coming out, and we get inundated with content every day that's not great. And seeing content that is great and that shows a faceted slice of life outside of the, you know, Anglo-American Western culture, it's going to be really important that those things get boosted up. And having a company like Disney, Pixar, making them and making them well, I think it will set the tone for the good content that's to come in the next 5 to 10 years.
The world is ready for it. You know, we watch Squid Game on Netflix, you know, I mean, and that's just an example.
We watch all kinds of stuff, though, like from all over. We watched that.
We watched a horror movie that was in Latin American that was in Spanish, which was awesome. I mean, there's a lot of
Swedish.
We watch a lot of Swedish horror. You know, it's like there's a lot. The world is ready, and there is a lot of people to be served. And that's a great thing about these streaming platforms, is that no matter where you are, you'll find something that you'll enjoy. And they're doing it. They're doing it with Disney. It's a global company, so why not? It's great. I would hope they would open more of their vault stuff globally to us here in the United States, because I think I don't care where you're at. If you're a Disney Plus subscriber, you should be able to get everything. That's my thing. Without having to use a VPN.
Exactly.
Yeah. Day two. Shall we get into that? Or did you get into some partying that you can't talk about on this broadcast?
Oh, no. It's totally wiped after day one. but, you know, we pushed through right into the 3-hour presentation from Lucasfilm, Marvel Studios, and 20th Century Studios. It was probably the longest presentation I sat through all weekend, and I was dehydrated from just weeping tears of pure joy and excitement afterwards. We started the day with Lucasfilm. Of course, Kathleen Kennedy was on hand to give some background of what Lucasfilm is working on and what they are hoping to do in the next few years. Andor is coming. It's imminent. There's going to be 24 episodes. They're saying it's like Star Wars meets The Bourne Identity, which, if that's real, I'm on board 100%.
Yeah.
It was great. They showed us some clips. It looks like they're having a lot of fun. Diego Luna gave some really, really incredible words in his native tongue, Spanish, to the Spanish-speaking audience in the room and across the world. And it was really, really lovely to see and start the day with that representation coming in strong, coming in hot with Lucasfilm right off the top. It was great. It was really wonderful to see. Willow, you know, if you had asked me what I'm excited about in the next, like, 3 years to watch, Willow, it would not have been at the top of my list. Let me tell you. Now it's at the top of my list.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It looks incredible. It looks like it's going to be so much fun, and leaning into that fantasy element right now, HBO has House of the Dragon, which I'm out on, no thanks. Amazon Prime has Lord of the Rings, Ring of Power. Incredible, beautiful. Yes, please give us more. And now Disney Plus, Lucasfilm will have Willow, and I think it's going to be top tier. Warwick Davis is back as the title character, and he is just a gift to this world.
Yeah.
He really, he's wonderful. Watching him riff with his cast of incredible young people, and then, of course, Christian Slater, who is joined the cast. It was really wonderful to see Disney Plus on November 30th. That's coming.
Time out. When you're talking about Warwick Davis, which is great because he is a gift. I love the trailer for Willow. I think it's great that he's back in this world, bringing that fantasy genre to Disney Plus, which is awesome with Lucasfilm. I hope they could find some way to pay homage to Val Kilmer.
Agreed.
In some way, because they did it so well in Top Gun. They did it so well in Top Gun. But anyway, I think it's great. Warwick Davis is great. Christian Slater is great. But I did find it funny that they introduced the cast of the newcomers, the younger crew and cast. And they said, and the young cast. And I'm like, what? I looked at the rest of the other ones, if they had any facial expression because they are older. I just laughed because it's hilarious. But
I loved it.
Yeah, it was great. Anyway, please continue.
What else? Oh, of course, our king, Dave Filoni, came out to talk about Bad Batch Season 2, which we're all really excited about, I'm sure.
Yes.
Dave is so wonderful. I just could listen to him talk for hours. He also has a new series coming out, 6 animated shorts, Star Wars Tales of the Jedi. It's going to be 3 episodes about Ahsoka Tano and 3 episodes about Count Dooku. Should be very interesting.
I'm so looking forward to that. I think that's we love, obviously we love Ashley Eckstein tremendously on the show, and so good to hear that she's getting extra kind of Clone Wars-esque animation added to the whole, to what is canon. But then to see that they had someone kind of do the Christopher Lee voice and have Dooku and share some of the original times when he was with the Jedi Order looks amazing. I can't wait.
Yes. And all of our favorites will be reprising their roles. T. Bradley Baker, Matt Lanter, Ashley Eckstein, everybody's coming back to do voices for those. And I think they're going to be really fun. And then speaking of Ahsoka, of course, because Ahsoka lives, Filoni showed a little bit of what they've been working on for the Ahsoka live action series starring Rosario Dawson. I am so excited for this series, you guys.
Yeah.
I got to talk when I was working Star Wars Celebration. I got to talk a little bit with the costume crew and the production design crew. And I think it's going to be really incredible. I can't wait to see what they do. I want to hear the story that they're going to tell, because I think they're going to tell it to the best of their ability. And those of us who love Ahsoka, who wish she was in the Star Wars main Skywalker saga, but, didn't get that as much as we wanted it, I think this is going to make all of us really, really happy. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see it.
They're going to be tackling some films sooner or later. I just know it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then, of course, to talk about Ahsoka, Jon Favreau had joined Filoni and Kennedy on stage. Jon Favreau is just, he's a gift. But the skeleton crew, Star Wars skeleton crew, is coming to Disney Plus. The way that they described how this came about made me very excited. Apparently, while working on some of the Spider-Man films, Jon Favreau mentioned to John Watts, the director of the Spider-Man movies, you know, we love Star Wars. We'd love to have you come out. And John Watts said, I'll do you one better. I already wrote you a series.
That's hilarious.
That sounds exactly right. Perfect. All of us nerds have already, we already know what we want, and we're going to tell you what we want, and then we're going to give it to you, whether you like it or not.
He's good, man. He's good, man. Yeah. You know, it's like, what do they say? Opportunity. What is it? Preparedness meets opportunity. You know, something like that.
Exactly. And I, you know, it just is one of those things where if you ever feel like you need to shut up about the thing that you're passionate about, don't shut up about it.
That's
just
right.
Don't shut up about it. You never know who's listening.
True.
Don't shut up about it. Keep being passionate. And I love it. But Skeleton Crew, it looks like it's going to be really fun, about four kids who find themselves lost in the galaxy. And Jude Law is going to be starring in that series. And he was on hands to talk a little bit about it, so they couldn't tell us much. It looks like it's going to be fun.
Live action or animated?
Live action.
Interesting. Jude Law.
Freaking A, man.
It's going to be great.
Awesome.
Of course, you know, my love among, just among loves, LBY, they showed us season 3 of The Mandalorian, the trailer with executive producer Rick Famuyiwa, and the whole cast of misfits that are on The Mandalorian. They're just wonderful humans. Pedro Pascal, Katie Sackhoff, Amy Sedaris, Giancarlo Esposito, and Emily Swallow were all on hand. And I got to tell you, season 3 of The Mandalorian looks crazy.
Hey, Giancarlo Esposito has got every geekdom at its at his beck and call. He really does.
He puts his hand in everything. And when they're going to announce that he's going to play Professor X like any second, honestly, I will pass away. I will be deceived.
I mean, he's been everything. He's been in The Boys. He's been in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's been in The Mandalorian. He's been in everything. And now he might even be in X-Men, perhaps. Who knows? Yeah. But now looking forward to that. But speaking of you being dehydrated because of tears streaming, seems to me like Harrison Ford, when he was brought out, couldn't hold back the tears. He was just overwhelmed with joy being there.
The sheer amount of emotion in that room when that trailer for Indiana Jones played, the sheer amount. Jonathan Rhys Davies' voice started. This is how sensitive I am. I am highly sensitive. Jonathan Rhys Davies' voice started in that trailer. I gasped and then I started sobbing. I was like, oh my God, Sala's back. Jonathan Rhys Davies, he's like, come on. He's Gimli. He's Treebeard. He's Sala. He was 17 different characters on Murder, She Wrote. He has one of the most storied careers in Hollywood. And he's back to play this character, to close out this franchise, this chapter of the Indiana Jones saga with Harrison Ford, who was moved to tears by the standing ovation that he got in that room. It was really magical. It was wonderful. And, you know, it's the last one. The man's 80 years old. He's not going to fall down for us anymore. And I think
you said it. Honestly,
James Mangold, if he can do for Harrison Ford and Indiana Jones what he did for Wolverine and Hugh Jackman in Logan,
yeah.
I think it's going to be an incredible finale chapter to that story. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, incredible. Steven Spielberg producing, incredible. George Lucas is involved, incredible. And of course, you know, Disney legend, actual legend, icon, John Williams writing the score, possibly as we speak, because the man was working on it last weekend when I saw him at the Hollywood Bowl. It's going to be something to behold. I really think it's going to be something special.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be. There's a...
Yeah.
When you're moved to tears like that, and Kristen, you found a quote here. You want to read that?
Let's see. It says, Indiana Jones movies are about fantasy and mystery, but they're also about heart. I'm really, really happy that we have a really human story to tell, as well as a movie that will kick your butt.
That's right.
That like very subtle dig at Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
A little bit.
Like if you weren't aware of it, if you didn't know, you wouldn't know. But if you know, you know. You know?
Yeah. Well,
I think it's going to be really special. I do. I really do.
I'm trying to bite my tongue, so I'll just leave it alone. And also the fact that he also said that he won't be falling down for you or anyone.
Exactly.
You know, there is that. No, that's awesome. I also felt like moving into Marvel, by the way, it was just awesome. And I know that a lot of the steam was kind of let out due to the fact that the big timeline reveal was all done at San Diego Comic-Con of the new slate of Marvel films. So the speculation starts and everybody, but I feel like geek fandom really blew things out of proportion, trying to set up things, trying to feel like they're scoopers. Like these are things planning to be released and announced regarding Marvel and Star Wars. And they were kind of let down because of their own expectations versus what Disney was preparing to show for us.
I agree. I know that you know this about me, but your listeners, I do not watch trailers. I don't watch trailers for Marvel movies. I try not to watch trailers for Star Wars projects. So this is a special circumstance for me. I had not seen anything that debuted at Comic-Con. I just read the news. That was it. Uh-huh. And one of the things that this is a nitpicky thing for me because it's how I consume my content. But when people start to critique content based on their own speculation and on their own expectations, rather than on the content that's actually created, I get very annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to rip apart something that you're watching that actually exists, by all means, rip it to shreds. Great. That's part of art is subjective. Let's debate. I'm fine with it. Does that spaghetti mean spaghetti, or is it a metaphor for the meaning of life? I don't know. You don't know. Let's talk about it. If you're going to come into something with an expectation or what you personally want and then break something into pieces because you didn't hear what you wanted to hear, and I would normally use some blue language in that phrase instead of what I just said,
yep.
But I know you guys have a kiddie-friendly audience. if you're going to do that, you are forgetting that content is made it's not made for you to say, oh, I wish that I could have had that. And it's fine if you do that, but that's not the way that you judge projects.
Right.
And when I do my content, if the content becomes, oh, well, this happened, but I wish that they brought in the mutants, or I wish that they hadn't, you know, spoiler alert, Professor X hadn't shown up. I wish, you know, I don't care. Your wishes and dreams, everybody's got one. Move on with your life. I personally went into this panel with no expectations. I knew that we had seen the timeline already. I knew that we've gotten some reveals. But I think that the thing that people forget, I think that the thing that nerd blogs and maybe even the higher up news media, the Hollywood Reporters and the Deadline, they forget that now Marvel and Star Wars are owned by Disney. They're not going to show the whole picture. They're going to show you part of the picture so that you come to this new thing, this second course, not full, wanting more. And that's exactly what happened on Saturday.
Yeah.
We went in, we knew what was going to come, but then also, you know, there was some smatterings of casting rumors. There was a little Armor Wars wasn't talked about at Comic-Con, so it must be canceled. Discourse, all of that stuff was either completely revealed or completely shot down. And I appreciate Kevin Feige coming to that forum, that D23 audience of Disney, Marvel, Star Wars people, and just giving them everything they could have possibly wanted. And no, did we get X-Men? Of course we didn't get X-Men. Everyone calm down about X-Men, honestly.
Hey, but what say, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What do you?
I was going to say.
I can't see your feet, so I can't judge what you're going to say.
No, well, first of all, Rogers the Musical from Hawkeye in real life
is hilarious.
Was freaking great. Like, I would have loved to see it. We were watching a live feed, and Kristen and I were looking. It's like, look at all those cell phones. Everyone in the audience with their cell phone. Bringing out the cast of Wakanda Forever was great. Of course, you know, Chadwick Boseman posthumously honored as a Disney legend the day before by his brother. Just super great.
Winston Duke. Isn't that his name?
Umbaku. Yeah, Winston Duke. He is huge, man. Of course, he's standing.
Winston Duke is enormous talent.
He is just a big man. And standing next to Letitia Wright, who plays Shuri, Shuri's already petite enough as it is. But
I only come up to his waist then.
Oh, have mercy. Hey, the other thing that was really great was the fact that they brought out Tuna Huerta, who plays Namor. And dude, I am so psyched about Namor being in Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, because he is like one of my favorite just arrogant X-Men. You know what I mean?
And I know there's been some discourse about the fact that like Namor's supposed to be like the most handsome man on the face of the planet, and Tuna Huerta is, and I was like, y'all, are you looking at him? That is a handsome man.
That's a handsome man. Like, what's the problem here, folks? What is your deal? Have you not seen the trailers where he comes out of the water? I mean, dude's packed. And then you have what I appreciate too is Ironheart. So in there, just knowing that Parker Robbins is the Hood, all automatically my mind goes places because you and I are both comic book people. So that's pretty dope.
I'm so excited. And you know, I do think Anthony Ramos is going to be a good luck charm for them. I am a huge fan of his. I'm a huge fan of Dominique Thorne. I think Ironheart is going to be something really, really special, especially because Ryan Coogler is executive producing.
Yes.
And I feel like he can do no wrong. He is a talent for the ages. He makes incredible art, and I'm just really excited to see where it goes.
He understands Marvel like Kevin. He understands characters. I love his work with, with the Rocky franchise, with Creed.
Yes.
And really love everything he's done with Black Panther thus far. But, and there's a couple other things. You mentioned Armor Wars. We'll just go ahead and get there. I'm a Don Cheadle fan. Kristen is. And we're so happy that they decided to come and bring him out to talk about Armor Wars because we are huge fans.
Yeah, that was probably the best recast. One of the best recasts I've seen for anything.
Yeah.
Is when they changed who played that character.
There you go.
I'm here. Deal with it. Let's move on.
That's perfect. Right.
I love it. It's great. But no, you know, Don Cheadle came out to talk about Secret Invasion and to talk about Armor Wars. And I kind of knew that they were saving Armor Wars for Disney, for D23, and for that D23 Expo audience. Don Cheadle, not only is he, of course, a founding member of the Avengers, an incredible actor. He's a busy man.
Yeah.
He's a busy man. And honestly, I don't blame him for not wanting to be at San Diego Comic-Con because it's busy.
Yeah.
It's busy. It's a lot. And coming to D23, like hopping into Anaheim and being down the road from the airport, hopping in, doing his thing, saying hello, taking a picture, seeing his kids, and then peacing out. That's what I would have done too. Honestly, come on.
Oh,
I knew they weren't going to cancel the project because he came in, he changed that role, he made it so important to the fans. Rhodey is such an important character, and I think giving him not only his own show, Armor Wars, of course, which they haven't really started working on yet, but making him an integral part of Secret Invasion with Samuel Jackson and Colby Smulders, he deserves it, first of all. But we deserve it because that character, he's been through so much, and getting to see him shine on his own outside of the Tony Stark bubble is going to be a real gift. Don Cheadle is an incredible actor, and I think he's going to make some changes to the way that we look at Marvel properties. It's going to be, you know, award-winning type of acting performances. I really honestly believe that.
100%. Don is the man. And, Speaking of hopping on a plane and peacing out, you had the team of Loki season two come in really quickly. And
okay, can we stop? I can stop you for just 1 second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kihoi Kwan, when that man makes a comeback, he makes a comeback. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree. For those of you not in the know, I am a huge Goonies fan. Goonies never say die. Who is it? Indiana Jones as well. Kihoi Kwan had been Data in the Goonies, my favorite character, and Short Round in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And to have him be reunited backstage with Harrison Ford after 30 plus years was amazing to see. But then to have him be part of Loki season two, like, I was gobsmacked. Like, what is this?
Incredible. Incredible.
Did you know about this?
I had no idea. I had no idea. And honestly, he walked out on stage and, you know, it's a room full of Marvel fans. So, of course, everyone went completely banana balls for Tom Hiddleston. But he talked and he had to stop talking because people were cheering so loud for him.
Yeah.
It's so moving. He was so impactful to all of us in our childhood from Goonies, Indiana Jones. And then he just decided he wanted to go live his life. And now he's an adult. He's an actor. He has a family. He has an education that he doesn't need to act if he doesn't want to. And now he's taking these incredible projects like Everything Everywhere All at Once, this Loki season two. And also, we're going to talk about this in a second, but he has another series coming to Disney Plus, American Born Chinese, with the Queen, Michelle Yeoh.
I love
it. Yeah. It's a comeback is real for Kihoi Kwan. Real.
Yeah, talk about comeback king. He is the comeback king. He's the belle of the ball. Seriously. He's all that. I know we need a motor. I know we need a motor. Look at Fantastic Four, it's all of us just geeking out here because there's so much to cover. Fantastic Four with Matt Shakman directing every episode of WandaVision, which was a feat, of course, during this pandemic, but we're glad to see him kind of doing it. I love the fact that the Echo series, you know, was there. Of course, you know, the entire cast was there. And it was great to see also Daredevil Born Again with Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio sharing the stage together. Go ahead.
Charlie is a gift. He's
good
to us all. He really is.
Isn't he great? It's great to see everybody together. But then you have Captain America, New World Order, and to see the entire cast looks like it's expanding in great ways, and talking about Anthony Mackie, who's got the tremendous burden, and I know he's gonna soar. You see what I did there? In this Captain America, New World Order with Danny Ramirez, who's going to be playing, I guess, the new Falcon, right?
They haven't announced it. They haven't announced it, but mark my words, you can note it today, September 11th, 2022. Danny Ramirez, Joaquin Torres will be the new Falcon. And also, I'm going to say it right now. You can come for me if you want to, but the inclusion of Isaiah Bradley, Carl Lumley, and the incredible, incomparable Carl Lumley in this film almost guarantees that we'll be getting a Young Avengers series or film following the 2024 release of this movie. Eli Bradley, Isaiah Bradley's grandson, plays one of the Young Avengers, and I think including him in this cast pretty much guarantees we're getting it. And then also Tim Blake Nelson coming back as the leader. I have so many questions, but I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the sheer amount of biceps that were on the stage.
Oh, no doubt. There was a lot of them, except for Tim Blake Nelson, who is, you know, in and of himself, he's going to have the big brains. He's the leader, you know, and it's funny how Kevin Feige had said, you know, 15 years later, we're going to make good on our promise of you being in the sequel as the villain, because they set it up in the Ed Norton version of The Incredible Hulk early on in the MCU with the gamma blood leaking into his head. Into an open wound, of course, much like She-Hulk. And then here he comes, you know. So, yeah, that's going to be great. Last but not least, there are two things. I'm gonna go into the Marvels first, because apparently, which is awesome, because we love Ms. Marvel. We love Photon. Great. We love, you know, we love Captain Marvel. It's going to be fun, but it's going to be funny. I heard. Were they yucking it up? Did they show some footage for you? Cause I think they went to black.
Yeah, they showed a teaser and it looks like it's going to be really fun. It looks like they're having a great time. The three of them together with Nia Zacosta, she is an incredible artist, an incredible director. And I think that the three of them are having a great time together. But not only that, one of the most important parts of Ms. Marvel, the series, was Kamala's family. And it looks like every single one of those people are included in this film, which is super special. I'm really excited to see what they do and how not only Ms. Kamala Khan interacts with Photon and Captain Marvel, but I'm interested to see how Captain Marvel and Photon and Nick Fury interact with Kamala Khan's family. It's going to be really special, and it looks like it's going to be very funny.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely looking forward to that. But last but not least, we did skip over this because I thought this was a great reveal because they did give us what we wanted, a team, the anti-hero team, and there was a few surprises with the Thunderbolts. This is a project that I would say to non-initiated Marvel fans is kind of like the Suicide Squad, the anti-hero squad. Yeah, but you want to run down the reveals of who all is on this team?
Yes, and it made me so incredibly happy to see that they made this announcement. Julia Louis-Dreyfus playing Contessa Valentina is the leader of the Thunderbolts. David Harbour is returning as Red Guardian.
Yes.
Hannah Johnson as Ghost, who we saw in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Sebastian Stan, National Treasure Sebastian Stan, will be reprising his role as James Bucky Barnes / the Winter Soldier. And Olga Kurylenko will be back to play the Taskmaster. Florence Pugh will also be reprising her role as Yelena Belova, who we love. And then, of course, Wyatt Russell, who we don't want to talk about as John Walker, U.S. Agent, Costco, Captain America.
I know. That's your anti-Cap. Sorry, Kat.
Okay, he came out on stage and was like, "I'm the most boring character in this movie. Okay, thanks, goodbye." And I was like, "Dude, pretend like you want to be here. They're at least writing you like a fat check." It was really lame. And I was like, okay, whatever. And then David Harbour just like danced around the stage for 5 minutes straight, which, you know, was great just overall.
I think Wyatt Russell's just kind of playing it down because I don't know. I think he's trying to play it down. I don't know what his deal is because honestly, Go ahead.
No, I don't know if it's because I already don't like that character, but like his attitude to me felt really off. His body language is weird on stage. I don't know what's going on with him, but you know, we wish him the best.
Who is this?
Wyatt Russell. Kristen had to step out for a second. But you know, I think that's out of all those characters, I think he's the one that people probably have the biggest, like, I totally am not down with your character. Because everyone has kind of been revealed to kind of get help in some way, shape, form, or fashion, except for maybe Taskmaster. Okay. But anyway, I digress. It's nice to see the reveal of all the anti-heroes. And of course, Florence Pugh too, because she is like, she's the best. We love her.
Yeah.
Incredible. Last but not least, and I said that like three times already. Avatar. No. Yeah. Avatar's, can I just say Avatar's Avatar? Okay.
I don't understand what's happening with Avatar. I don't understand it. I hope that they're successful. I really do. They showed 20 minutes of this movie to the crowd.
Oh, really?
They passed out 3D glasses and they put curtains down between the screens in the hall to make it like as movie theater like as possible, and they showed them 20 minutes. This is not my suggestion to you to not see this movie. Please not come for me, 20th Century Studios. I feel like I do not need to see this movie now. I feel like I know what happens, and that's it.
Okay.
Is it good? Sure, it's beautiful. What is it about? I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you for 1 minute what it's about. No idea.
I'm not a fan of Avatar.
Tell us how you really feel.
It's like Kat said, it's beautiful, but That's all I can say for it. It is slow and boring. And why is it, you know, the first one's like 3 hours long. I can find way better ways to spend 3 hours of my time than to sit there and watch something that's just really pretty.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the goal is outside of like making money and like improving the technology. And if that's what the goal is, like still, like make some money. Great. Improve the technology. Awesome. Love it. Love that for you, James Cameron. I don't know what's going on.
I'm not a fan of James Cameron's stuff. It's just long, slow, and boring to me. I'm sorry for anybody who loves James Cameron and his work, but I just, yeah. For somebody with ADHD, it is very, like, James Cameron's work is not for them.
Wait, did you peek at like Terminator 2? Is that what you're saying?
No, I just, none of his work I have been about. I'm very bored by it. And that's why I love Marvel so much, because Kevin Feige can get these movies together and they're like really, really long. And I'm not bored out of my mind.
There you go.
I don't check my watch. So that's a nod to Kevin Feige.
There you go.
There we go.
Last but not least, do you want to just bounce into day three today?
Let's briefly talk about it, because we will talk all about the Disney park stuff on Dining at Disney.
Well, yeah, I know that, but okay. we have a little bit of crossover.
That's
we can talk about
briefly.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of your highlights. You want to talk about some highlights for you?
I just want to mention from the Disney branded television, because they were so nice to invite us to their presentation. They showed us some really incredible stuff. And I just want to comment, because I don't know if people watch this live, but if you get a chance to go back and watch it live, John Stamos came out to talk about Big Shot Season 2, which comes out on October 12th on Disney Plus, all episodes. But he used his time to make a really heartfelt tribute to late, great Bob Saget and his memory, and felt that it was really, really beautiful and selfless. You know, we're all here. We all subscribe to Disney Plus. Everybody knows that he has a series and probably are going to watch it. But he gave that time that could have been spent, you know, promoting his own show to talk about cherishing family and telling the people that you love them. And I thought it was really beautiful. And, you know, R.I.P. Bob Saget, you know, you were a very talented comedian, and it's very obvious that your friends and family miss you and love you. So I just want to put that out there. But let's skip right on to day three. This morning, bright and early, we started the day with the Disney Parks panel. It was great. It was incredible. It was wonderful. They told us so many things. I'm very upset about Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
Do we want to just dive into this?
Yeah, let's dive into it, because I love watching the comments in the chat, because you have a bunch of what I would say normies, okay, because they're casual Disney fans, they're looking for Marvel information or whatever, and the chat was just super hot, as always. Like, you know, this is boring, or this is horrible, you know, we're not interested in the Proud Family or Percy Jackson, we're not interested in any of that, we're just
I'm excited about Percy Jackson.
I'm excited about all the stuff that Kat is going to talk about on your show, but...
It's so cute.
I can't wait. Or, you know, but Devil Dinosaur is going to be great. And another series that our little girl is going to love. But looking at what's going on with Animal Kingdom, they are going to be renovating Dino Land. And redoing everything about it.
Reimagining, demolishing, starting over.
Yeah, they're starting over. They're starting from scratch. So what is your beef with it?
I think that Dino Land at Animal Kingdom had so much potential. I really do stand behind the fact that when it started out and they wanted it to be about paleontology and, you know, outside of like the carnival aspect of it, I thought that was really important, because, you know, we need to look back to be able to look forward. And teaching little kids about, you know, dinosaurs, whatever. It's important work, and everyone should be, if they can make it fun, that's great. Natural History Museums do it across the world. Taking it apart and replacing it with Zootopia feels, I'm really sorry, you guys. It feels cheap. It really does. It feels cheap.
Yeah.
Africa is a real place. Asia is a real place. Zootopia? That's where we're going to go?
Well,
Zootopia? Pandora? I already have a problem with Pandora. Pandora's okay. Beautiful. I still don't think it belongs there.
I agree.
100%.
It's gorgeous. They did a really important work there, and it's all beautiful. I don't think it belongs. I don't think it belongs in that setting, and I feel the same way about adding Zootopia and Moana to this park. I don't like it. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that really jeered about it.
Why not add, because you've got already Africa and Asia, why not add another continent like South America?
Oh, they could do a lot of things.
And that's
there's so many things they could be doing
that I would have liked to have seen.
Dropping IP into that space.
Yeah, that's the intellectual properties creeping in. And it's unstoppable. We can't stop it. I know we've been talking about it for years here on our podcast about how they need to monetize and all these characters that they own and these intellectual properties. But yeah, it's disappointing because I love dinosaurs. Kids love dinosaurs. I think that doing something are you telling me that there are not enough dinosaur Disney properties that can't make that whole dino area more palatable and having awesome experiences? You know, you made a whole thing with Lightstorm and James Cameron with Pandora about the scientific pursuit of these fictional beings and creatures. And you don't mean that you can't tell me that you can't find any intellectual properties to leverage to have an outstanding experience with dinosaurs and paleontology and all the other things that, you know, with National Geographic, like you couldn't do anything exactly. With that?
No, Geographic is the right answer here. National Geographic is the right answer. They could have fit National Geographic into this space 100%.
There you go. You see,
but
I mean,
because it's about IP. It's always going to be about IP. It's going to be about the draw of IP. And I understand that as a business model, but.
Oh, it doesn't mean you can't. Yeah, you can have characters roam around and still represent, because it is, you know, of course it's not a zoo, but you could have Zootopia characters just like you had been before and have different meet and greets and things like that, that make sense. But you can't tell me that you can't leverage another tile on Disney Plus to leverage that whole area for a complete redo, to make it more relevant and fresh and technologically advanced. You know, but I feel you. I feel you. But that's not the only thing.
No. There is so much coming to the Disney parks across the world. First and foremost, Happily Ever After is coming back to the Magic Kingdom, which I know everybody wanted to hear. I feel like the internet manifested that. Nobody likes Enchanted. Sorry, Enchanted. You know, great. Good for you. Nobody likes you. Happily Ever After is coming back. New animations, new projections. Super excited about it. I think it's going to be great. It was a missed opportunity to get rid of it. Bringing it back is the right call. Absolutely.
Right.
Jordan Fisher, you're a king.
Harmonious is going away too.
Harmonious is going away. The energy in this room when Happily Ever After was announced and then they said they were getting rid of Harmonious was so high. Nobody likes Harmonious.
Okay, so I do know one person. I know the one person that likes Harmonious. I haven't seen it because, just like you don't watch
trailers,
I don't watch videos of attractions or shows or anything like that when it comes to any, whether it be an amusement park or a theme park, because I feel like it ruins it for me. So I have not seen the videos of it. And the one person I know who likes it is my friend Natalie, who I used to do a show with, Castaway Midday, she loves it. She said her favorite part is with Merida.
Oh, there you go.
Well, you know, it's on Disney Plus. She can watch it whatever she wants. Get it out of the Epcot. It's better on Disney Plus.
Oh, Lord. Anyway.
What else? Oh, okay. So Hulk is coming to Avengers Campus at Disneyland Resort.
Love it. Like, finally.
It's going to be really incredible. They had a lot of people in the Imagineering booth on the floor talking about how they make exoskeletons and silk costumes. And I was like, why are we talking about exoskeletons? And then as soon as they started talking about the Hulk, I was like, oh, that's why. Okay, great.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
Incredible. I posted.
I was going to say, I remember them testing that going, well, that's going to be Sully and Hulk and Wreck-It Ralph and everybody else. That's huge.
Yeah. We talked about that.
And, I can't wait. You know, so it's about time they did that because the Transformers happened over there at Universal and it's not perfect, but it's fun. And now I think they're much, much closer with the Incredible Hulk in this go round.
Because I know what goes into putting together a Transformer at Universal Studios, I'm going to patently disagree with you about how fun they are. But I agree, it's about time.
Oh, by the way, Thanos. I know we're going to talk about Thanos. that at some point. So, you want to talk about Thanos?
King Thanos and the multiverse adventure at Disneyland at Avengers Campus is coming. We don't have a date yet, but it's impending, definitely. I think it's going to be really cool. They definitely need a third attraction over there.
Yeah.
They need it, so we're going to get it. And I think it's going to be really fun. Also, of course, you know, because John Favreau and Kevin Feige have nothing better to do than come and talk to people at D23 Expo. They were back, both of them on stage, but Favreau came out to talk about how the Mandalorian and LBY, Lil Baby Lil Yoda Forever, are going to be making appearances at the Disneyland Resort starting, I think, in mid-November, he said. If you want to meet little baby Yoda in person and see his little peach fuzz hairs on his little stupid head, he'll be at Disneyland in Anaheim imminently, which means I'm sure he'll be at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge in Walt Disney World shortly after that.
God, I can't wait. You know, they're holding back on us because we knew about this for a while. It's nice to have them trot out the Mandalorian and Grogu and have them just, you know, interact, and you get to see the little puppet and everything, the animatronic move and everything. That's great. We got to have more of those characters because the thing about Walt Disney World is we don't have any of the fun stuff that Avengers Campus has. All we have is this tired, rundown place next door called Superhero Island, and it's not Disney. So we got to get more. You know, we've got Guardians. We need more. We need more Marvel. And now that my understanding is that Six Flags may be going under, which is very bad. It's very sad.
But
the DC Universe license will probably end up eroding and going away, which means they can finally get DC heroes over at Universal where they belong and have Marvel completely come over to Walt Disney World, right?
Definitely. I also think that's a little bit why the Dino Land thing is going away, because Epic Universe over at Universal, I think, is going to have some more Jurassic Park stuff in it.
They are.
So away from Dino Land in Animal Kingdom to let Jurassic Park take over at Universal and then adding more Disney IP at Animal Kingdom. It makes sense. It all is in the business model, but yeah, I would love to see more Marvel at Walt Disney World. And I think they said that Hulk was only going to be here on the West Coast for a limited amount of time. So I think he'll probably start making appearances in Paris first.
Yep.
And then I think you'll probably see him over there at Walt Disney World, maybe by next summer, you know, conservatively.
Let's hope so.
I think it would be nice if we got a fifth gate all about Marvel. Just saying.
Sure. I want it all.
That's my wishful thinking right there.
I want it all. Yes.
You know what else? San Francisco coming to plan. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, so I didn't know about this either. This came to me and apparently a lot of people there, you know, watching there in attendance at the expo, that Pacific Wharf is turning over to San Francisco, and it looked amazing.
It looks incredible. It looks beautiful. I think it's the right call. I really do. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's a great, what is the word I'm looking for?
It works great.
Transitional. It's a great transitional element between Pixar Pier and Cars Land. I think it's going to be a really nice transition.
And it's got to mean, I mean, they have a lot of stuff going on with Baymax here on Disney Plus with these animated series, but it makes me believe that there is going to be a Big Hero 6 film in the works, a sequel. It's got to be.
There's enough comics to back it up.
And that's all I got to say about that. That's great.
Yep.
Now, I know that Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway will be going over there at Disneyland Park with Toontown with updates there. They showed, they showed Donald and Goofy's, Donald's ship just hanging out there at Disneyland. Is that right?
Yes, they did. They did. I know a lot of people were afraid that they were going to start tearing down some of the other residents' homes there at Toontown, but it looks like they will be refurbishing Donald's lovely little boat, and Goofy will be getting a play area for little kids aimed at preschoolers. And then, of course, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which will be living inside of the El Capitan Theater, El Capitan Theater here in Los Angeles. I think it's going to be really cute. It's beautiful. It looks great. I posted some photos of the model on the Dining at Disney Instagram. So if you want to see those model photos, they're over there.
Couple other things to mention here stateside, which I think are very noteworthy, is Tiana's Bayou Adventure. We finally have a date, finally, for Disneyland and Walt Disney World. I really like what they're doing with this because it looks amazing at night. It's one thing I wish Splash Mountain did have was this really cool kind of newness and nighttime experience. It just looks super dark over there all the time, and now it won't be.
No, it's going to be beautiful, I think. The way they show that they're using mist and fog to create watercolor patterns and the way that it looks, it's going to look lit up. It's going to look like a Mardi Gras float. It's going to be great. I'm super excited that the voice cast is returning. Aniko Noni Rose, Bruno Campos, Michael Leon Woolley, and the queen herself, Jennifer Lewis, is Mama Odie. It's going to be really interesting, and they're going to introduce some new characters. I don't ride Splash Mountain just as a general thing. I don't like it. I don't like to be damp in the theme park generally.
Right.
But it's with a restaurant, which we know I love. I love restaurants. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with the restaurant. And I want to see everything, Tiana's Palace, and it's going to be really interesting. I'm really excited. And it looks like they're doing a lot of work to keep it authentic to New Orleans, working with the granddaughter of, the owner of Dickie Chase in New Orleans, who he's based off of.
Yes.
So they're keeping it authentic. They're doing the work. They're putting in the hours. And I'm excited to see what they come up with.
Same here. So Tron Light Cycle Run will be opening 2023. That's good. And like I said, I think a lot of people that wanted more from the Disney Parks panel here, stateside, Disneyland, Walt Disney World, you have to remember that we spent 2+ years with the pandemic happening, and a lot of things had shifted, and a lot of things that were announced in 2019 should have already came to fruition, but because the parks weren't around for a good year and a half, they're just now getting their feet underneath them and restarting projects. And a lot of them are going to be changing and morphing. So I know some of them will be vaporware, but do you give them a pass, Kat, Kristen? I mean, is this par for the course? You think there should be more understanding on behalf of the fans from Disney?
You know, okay. So I feel like the announcements are the same as the way they always are. It's just people have forgotten that Disney has a habit of telling you, like, this is what's coming. And then at the next D23, they're telling you about, giving you details about that thing that they told you about at the previous D23. And then there's the mention of the possible things that may come.
Sky.
Like these beautiful ideas we have. We don't know what's going to happen, but these are these beautiful ideas of things that we're planning to do.
What'd you think about that, Kat? The blue sky concept?
I feel like that's always how it is.
I don't know about that blue sky. I don't know. I don't see any of it happening anytime soon. Honestly, how long talking about Villainous Kingdom? How long have we been talking about it? 20 years?
Yeah.
We still haven't seen it. I think that we're more likely to get Coco and Encanto. I think we're more likely to get Coco at Epcot before we see it itself. And yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to see. Just beyond Thunder Mountain.
That's what they were saying. They're like, what is on the other side of Big Thunder Mountain?
Hey,
and I was like, three office buildings and a car park. What are we doing?
That's what I was going to say. What is beyond Big Thunder Mountain? Yeah, it's just a whole bunch of emptiness right now.
Yeah.
And it definitely could be great to see that expand because, well, let's face it, right now, the parks are too super stuffed. There's a lot of stuff going on there. And it would be great, you know, instead of having another gate, everybody's like, well, how about refurbishing all of the other stuff? And I said, yeah, refurbishments are great. Cleaning up is great, but they want the new and shiny. That's where they're going to invest their money in. And there's a lot of stuff that's broken and wrecked, and they're going to need to bowl it down and build fresh.
Yeah, because they don't do the refurbishments like they used to do 10, 15 years ago of where in the fall, a lot of things got shut down because they would be repainted and things fixed and updates done to them, and they don't.
They definitely not at Walt Disney World anyway.
No. The thing that they glazed over without talking about like at all that I was really surprised about was Tomorrowland. They didn't talk about Tomorrowland in either park outside of the Tron Light Cycle, and they were just like, oh yeah, during the refurbishment, blah, 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 blah. Like, no mention of what it might look like, what it might entail, what the color scheme might, it's nothing. And I was really shocked by the lack of Tomorrowland information.
What are they going to do with Stitch's Great Escape?
They're going to, I tell you what they're going to do. They're going to wait till the very last minute to do anything that touches that because there's so many people that go through there. So
it doesn't get it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. I can't wait to open this up for more discussion. I will say that, yes, I can't wait to see the final end of Epcot to see what it actually will happen to Epcot because I don't want to set my hopes up too high, but man, they just keep digging their hole deeper and deeper, you know? That's the way I feel about it.
I don't know. The Tafiti statue that's coming for Journey of Water, inspired by Moana, looks beautiful. I hope they can follow through on making it just as nice as it is small as it is big. Figment coming to the park. As much as I know we all love Figment, I love Figment. Figgy Smalls, Notorious F.I.G., we love him. I don't understand what the point is.
It's called filler.
Yeah,
it's really called filler because what I said. Yeah, it's fan service. You know, just say Figment and people will cheer. They hope you'll forget about the rest, you know, right? So they play that smoke and mirrors tactic and say that this is what they have. And look, it's not bad. Josh D'Amaro and his team are doing great things. But once again, I think the issue is here we come out of this horrible situation that the world was in and they're picking up the pieces, trying to figure it out. That's why I give them a pass. I will give Disney a pass because right now with a new cruise ship that they just announced as well, trying to squeeze that little announcement in there with the treasure, the Aladdin themed ship is going to be great. Adding to the fleet. There's a lot of really positive things I can say. And I will also say that stage performances, presentations overall, everything that I've seen and read about it was great. I wish I could have been there. I know Kristen wishes we could have been there. Kat, any final thoughts on Disney parks and D23 in general?
D23 Expo is one of my favorite conventions. I had a lot of fun this weekend. I got to see a lot of really cool stuff. I got to talk to a lot of really interesting people and learn a lot of interesting things. I will say that they truly went out of their way to put on a show for the Disney audience at D23 Expo this year. In the past, we've seen many musical performances. This year, they pulled out all the stops. Musical performances, dance performances, at every corner there was a musical performance. And I'm not sure if it was a lot of jazz hands to get us to look away from the things that are not finished yet. And if they were, then that's fine. But I had a great time. I hope everyone else that was there had a great time. I hope everyone stays safe. And I hope that even with the bad things that, you know, not bad, but with the not so great things that we've talked about here today and that we heard today and this weekend, I hope that we can focus on the positives and the incredible things that they're doing as far as technology and content creation and giving us a place to go when we can get reservations to celebrate together. I think Disney 100 years of wonder is going to be a real undertaking, and I can't wait to see how they flesh out the things that are still a little messy. Messy is the word I'm going to use.
I like that term. I know that you and Kristen are going to be delving further as it pertains to more of the parks and food and restaurants at the Dining at Disney podcast that's going to be taking place. You have a new episode launching on Monday, as you always do, but also Thursday, which we'll be talking more about the D23 Expo. While we still have you, Kat, here, thank you so much. I know that people love the fact that you're on this show, as well as Dining at Disney and your own podcast, Eat the Pictures. Go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you.
Of course. You can find me on Instagram at Catastrophe, at CAT_ASTROPHE, or on my little show, Eat the Pictures, where we talk about food and films. I'll be back soon with some Spider-Man content coming to you and your feed very soon. And of course, on Dining at Disney twice a week with the lovely Kristen and our favorite Bubba, and of course, someone we're all thankful for, producer Al John.
Hey. Thank you, Kat. We appreciate it. Have a great night.
Thank you for having me, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Kat. All right.
Okay.
Well, we love Kat, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Isn't it great? Any final thoughts on the D23 coverage? Because this was a major XXXL show. It was huge.
I know. This is like two shows in one.
I know. And by the way, if you're listening, to us on Sorcerer Radio, you're only going to hear the park segment of this show. So it's going to be cut drastically. Listen to the show archive there at the Disney List for not only this live video, but also the entire audio. As my cat decides to totally destroy, he totally destroyed that. I think he totally destroyed that coffee mug.
Hey, Cat of Thunder, get down.
Oh, my Lord. My cat is ruining my studio.
Okay.
Go ahead. Tell everybody where they can find you, and you can go start feeding them.
They can find me at diningatdisney.com. On all social media platforms, just look for Dining at Disney. And as Kat said, we will be talking more about the D23 Expo and everything coming to the parks, including the new Disney Treasure.
I love it. Thanks, everybody, for watching this show on all your social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as everybody in the chat. We love you. Thank you so much for the show archive there in the show notes, there where you can find the Disney List, every single podcast platform, also Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com, Sorcerer Radio Disney Fun Zone, which is the group. We also have a group as well there, Disney List. We love you. We thank you so much for joining us on this XXL show. The D23 Expo reveals highlights and roundup. My name's Al John.
And I'm Kristen.
And we'll see you real soon.
Information and opinions expressed in this podcast are for entertainment and informational purposes. All other trademarks mentioned are the property of their respective owners.
I'm Kristen Hetzel, co-host of Dining at Disney podcast.
Every week, I chat about dining at Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line with my fellow foodie, Bubba. We also feature restaurants and food reviews, information to help you plan your dining, Disney food news, recipes, and a monthly panel discussion. Visit diningatdisney.com and subscribe to Dining at Disney podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Dining at Disney podcast, the happiest plate on earth.